For the first one, yeah.
Is going to start like he normally does here in just a moment. But if there's an empty row in front of you, just keep moving until there's not. How's that sound? How about just keep moving until there's... That means the Casilio got a long way to go. I saw you back there. Wendy's like, what in the world? That's it. Didn't I feel good? Don't I feel good? Didn't I feel good? Oh, you guys look good. Amen. While you're doing that, just that's it. Get up, tell somebody, just stand up, move around a little bit, tell somebody hello. Come on, find out what their first name is, find out their birthday, get credit card information, whatever you can get out of them, all right? That's it. That's it. Now it's more like it. I like it. That's more like it. Patty. Here we go. Get on up here with me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's worship. Get on up here with me. Come on. Come on. Just everybody. Follow Gary Joe. Come on. Come on. Some people get up here with me. Don't leave me up here all by myself. I'll move this out of the way. Come on. That's it. Come on.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His way. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion.
Who is like the Lord?
Who is like the Lord?
Oh. stop the Lord Almighty? Yeah. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Say it again, say it again.
Who is like the Lord Almighty?
Yeah. Come on, you say, you say. You say, who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Come on, let's stay right there.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Just one more time. Him in all of his ways. That said, just pour out your love on him right now. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you so much. Oh, he's here. He's here, church. I said he's here. I don't want to seem raw right now, but I really want you to tell, if your eyes are on the stage, you're really out of order right now. I will lift up my eyes, huh? Unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from where? I said, my help comes from where?
The Lord.
Come on, look unto him right now. Yes, sir.
Our lives, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Can you sing that out to him tonight? And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Stay right there. All the earth and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Just lift your hands all across the room and just begin to lift your voice. And don't just sing the words on the screen, but begin to pour your love out for Jesus all across this room, man. Come on, lift your voice up and tell the Lord how much you love him in this place. Come on, lift your voice up strong. Tell him how worthy he is, how holy he is, how glorious he is. Come on, lift it up strong in the room. Come on, lift it up with all you've got. Pour out your praise. Pour out your praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, one more time. Lift your hands. Sing it. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour.
Psalm 34 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. It says, I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. I don't know how you walked in here tonight. I don't know what's happening in your life, but the Bible says, let all who are helpless take heart. It says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness and let us exalt his name together. Listen to this. It says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. Can somebody say amen to that?
Yes.
Those who look to him for help, I love this line, will be radiant with joy. Come on, man. Radiant with joy. no shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all of my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him. And you guys know this one. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Come on, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Come on, just lift your hands with me. Let's pray together for the Holy Spirit just to come and do what only he can do in this place tonight. Come on, just begin to set your heart into agreement and set your heart into alignment that tonight we will tell of the greatness of our God. Tonight we will be radiant with joy. Tonight, God, we will taste and we will see that, Lord, you are good, that you deliver us from all of our troubles, God. You cast out all of our fears because of your perfect love. Lord, I pray tonight that there is freedom in this place for you, Holy Spirit, to come and do absolutely anything that you want to do in this place. God, I pray that on this Wednesday night, God, that you would break every chain of bondage, that you would set every person free in this place, that there would be healing for every broken body in the room tonight, Lord. That there would be confirmation of your word to every heart that is heavy and burdened tonight, God, that you would lift off every heavy weight. Lord, I pray for a refreshing and a radiance of joy to fill this place tonight, God. A radiance of joy to fill this place tonight, God. A radiance of joy to fill this place tonight, Jesus. We thank you for your presence that we feel in this place tonight. And we honor you, God. And we welcome you here. We know that you are here, and we speak to you like you're really in the room. We worship you like you're really in the room, God. We respond to you like you are really in this place tonight, Jesus. Come on, I want you to just tell the Lord with me. Say, God,
God,
you can do anything.
You can do anything.
I really believe that, man. Why don't you turn somebody next to you and shake their hand, give them a high five, and tell them just to get ready, man, because God is going to do some stuff in this place tonight. You can make your way back to your seat. Amen. Man, glad you guys are here on a spring break Wednesday night. It may be spring break, but God's not on a break. Amen. God's going to do some awesome stuff tonight. We're excited. I just got back from 2.5 days up on a mountain with some crazy kids. They're all over like here in this section. And God did some powerful stuff. And I'll tell you just a couple testimonies, but let's give to the Lord first. I know you brought your tithe, you brought your offering, you brought your increase to give to God. And so the ushers are going to make their way, and we're going to give our tithe, give our offering. Also, we have a special guest with us tonight, Jacob Peterson, and we're introducing him here in just a moment. But if you'd like to give and sow into his ministry and his life, he came here from Hamilton, Alabama, and he's been sowing into us as a youth ministry the last 2 days, and he's going to sow into your heart tonight. Just believe that God's going to bless you in a mighty way. So God bless you as you give. You can go ahead, gentlemen, and go ahead and receive the giving. And we just prayed, so we don't have to pray again. It's okay. And just believe that God's going to bless you as you give. So, man, we spent 2.5 days up on this mountain at this place called Camp Salgahatchia. And, man, God just did some phenomenal things. And maybe we'll show some pictures on Sunday. But I asked, you know, Jacob preached powerful words on Monday night and on Tuesday night. And I told the kids, when you go home and your parents ask you what God did in your life, don't just tell them like, oh man, I don't know, I had a good time. They're half tired. They're still half asleep because we wore them out up there, man. We kayaked and canoed and played ultimate frisbee. And man, we did all kinds of stuff. It was wild. Skylar had them running all over that 300 acres doing a scavenger hunt. And man, it was just a lot of fun. And I made them get up at 8:30 and eat breakfast on spring break. And then they stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning playing games, acting a fool. So they're worn out. But I told them, when you go home and your parents ask you what happened on your retreat, you don't have to come up with anything. Just tell them this, because this is what God did on Monday night, and this is what God did on Tuesday night. Tell them, on Monday night, I smashed all my idols, and on Tuesday night, I decided to take up my cross and follow Jesus, because that's what he did, man. And there was this really cool thing that happened. There was this board, this whiteboard that was in the room we were worshiping in, and you know, if there's a whiteboard and markers, kids are going to draw on it, you know. So they had drawn on it,
And I noticed that somebody wrote something on there that was just really caught my eye. And so I asked these kids, I said, look, why don't you go ahead and go by that board, and on your way out tonight, just write what God's done in your life. These are a few things that I read, and I'll show you some pictures maybe on Sunday. It says, I now have a desire to hear his voice and follow it. Can't wait to see where his will takes me. This person says, Reese has changed forever. This one says, I was called to missions. This one says, I smashed the idol of fear and double-mindedness, and I declare from this day forward, I am sure, constant, and unshakable in Jesus' name. I burned the bridge, no turning back. I'm not holding back on God. The birthmark of a new beginning. No more idols. There is nothing in this world for me. I will follow you, Lord. I will receive clarity on my calling and on my purpose. That's just a few of the things that God did in the hearts of these kids over the past couple days, man. It was just a powerful time of commitment of lives to the Lord. Jacob asked at one point during this altar call, how many of you just want to be used of the Lord? And like popcorn, they just popped up out of the floor, just stood up and said, man, I just want to be used of God. And so I pray tonight, man, that same anointing that was on that mountain is here, and that God's going to do a powerful thing. And so Jacob is my brother-in-law through marriage somehow or another. I don't know. Whitney's got so many siblings, it's so hard for me to keep up, man. So he's married to Whitney's sister. And so we're kind of brothers, man, and I'm excited to have him here tonight. He's not a stranger to you guys. You all know him. He's been here in this house many times. So help me welcome tonight Jacob Peterson from Hamilton, Alabama.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It is an honor to be here with you tonight. Lexi and I love the Long family. Our lives have been impacted by them. And so thank you, Pastor, for having me tonight. It is a true honor to be here with you. And just to be honest, I am very stirred in my spirit with a word for you. I am very, have you ever been to a place in your walk with the Lord where I leaned over to Whitney before and I just said, man, I just feel like preaching with a vengeance tonight to upset every devil in hell. Come on, somebody. But when I was getting ready, I was doing some sermon prep today, just getting ready, getting focused, and I just started YouTubing some old school Rod Parsley praise breaks, some old school Bishop T.D. Jakes praise breaks, and so I'm ready to roll tonight, amen. And I want to share this word for you that is a very transparent word. It's a very honest word, and it's a word that honestly changed my life. A couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I just got back from India. I did about a 10-day trip in Sri Lanka. Then I went over to India, pouring into pastors, doing pastors' conferences, really awesome meetings. I come back and I get home the day before my little girl's third birthday. And I have two little girls, one named Reese, who is three. She just turned three. And then I have another little baby named Piper, and she's 10 months. And so I'm just extremely blessed. Two little girls. And so people ask all the time, are you going to try for a boy? And I think I'm throwing in the towel. Anyway, I love my children. We had her third birthday that Saturday, the day after I get back. And the day after, her birthday, she starts getting these symptoms. She starts getting sick. She starts vomiting. She starts having a lot of diarrhea. And if you know all the parents in the room, whenever your child's sick, it could be the sniffles. It could be a little red dot on their arm, and you think it's Ebola. You think it's the plague. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord for Google, but Google can be used by the enemy. You Google like fever and upset stomach, and it's like, well, it could be a stomach bug, or it could be spinal meningitis. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up, those are two different things now, you know. And she started getting sick, and I want to share with you really quickly just a journey that the Lord took on me over the span of a night. And I want to preach to you from Psalm chapter 30. Verse 5, and the word of the Lord says this: his anger is but for a moment, but his favor lasts forever. And then a famous scripture: weeping may endure through the night, But what happens? Joy comes in the morning. Tonight, I just simply want to preach a message to stir you up, just called Survive the Night. Surviving the Night. I love to preach about the joy coming in the morning, but it's easy to preach that before you've walked through a night. It's easy to preach about joy coming in the morning when your eyes aren't full of tears while you're weeping during the night. So what do you do when you're in a night season, when you find yourself walking through a night season? And I can break down what a night season is. It's that span of period between when you get a promise and the manifestation of that promise. Where you know something that God has said, you've read the word of the Lord concerning healing, concerning financial breakthrough, concerning all this, and it's not getting better, it's just getting darker. And, you know, earlier in my walk with the Lord, earlier in ministry, I've been saved 10 years, I'm 26 now, I got saved when I was 16 years old, and I realize it's a lot easier to preach on this kind of stuff when you kind of believe that as a Christian, everything's just going to be hunky-dory, no problems, no situation. And 3 weeks ago was my first crisis I experienced since we had our children. My first crisis we experienced, and it sent us into a night. And praise the Lord, it only happened a night, and I'm going to share that story with you. We end up watching her, you know, we're keeping her fluids, we're monitoring her fever, and the next day she wakes up, she's still sick, and except for this time, it's gotten a lot worse. We put her down to sleep, and she'll sleep for about 15 minutes, and she'll wake up screaming and shaking in pain. And as a parent, it's the worst thing you can experience and encounter. She'd fall asleep and wake up shaking in pain, screaming at the top of her lungs, and looking in her eyes, this three-year-old knowing, man, she is in a lot of pain. You know, we took her to a little hole-in-the-wall doctor in Hamilton. They really didn't do anything for her. They gave her something for nausea. And I'm like, no. You know, part of me, this daddy thing's rising up in me, and I'm like, no, hold up. Like, you better do something to her. I don't need you to prescribe me some nausea medicines. There's something wrong. And we take her back home, and it just gets worse and worse. The fever gets worse. The pain gets worse. And we finally get to the point where Lexi and I are texting. I'm at work, and she just says, what do you think? What should we do? And I'm just like, get her ready. We're going to the ER, you know? And I've never had to take my kids to the ER before. Never experienced that. So we load up. We drive to Hamilton ER. We get there. And one of the scariest things about what we were going through was that she was not using the bathroom. She hadn't urinated in 24 hours. She hasn't had a bowel movement in 24 hours. And so we are really concerned. And we take her in there. And so they have to do things like give her a catheter, and she's still in a lot of pain. For a three-year-old, that's pretty intense, amen? They have to give her a catheter, take out like 300 cc's of urine. When you're holding it for that long, it's a lot of pain. So we're thinking, you know, maybe it's just a UTI. Hey, they can solve that. But I've never been in the situation before. It's bad when the doctor doesn't know what's going on. That's a scary moment. And if you've ever been there before when they say, honestly, I don't know, that's a scary moment. And so they wheel her off to x-ray, and they're doing x-rays, and they're calling other hospitals. And then they decide, hey, something is really wrong here. We think we see in her intestines there's a blockage. And they're throwing out all these different things. They're saying it could be a bunch of stuff. They're saying it could be a blockage, or her organs are not properly functioning anymore. And we're saying, why isn't she going to the bathroom? Why can't she pee? And they're saying, we don't know. So from that moment, it was about 8 or 9 o'clock. They send us 45 minutes away to Tupelo, Mississippi, to be near a pediatric surgeon. So they're starting to throw out words like surgery and all this different stuff. They have to load my little girl up in an ambulance and drive her all the way to Tupelo. So we get there, and the same thing happens. X-rays, more x-rays. You know, they give her the IV, have to prick her 3 times in order to get the IV. And as a parent, it's horrible having to hold down your baby girl as she's screaming and as she's crying, saying, Daddy, don't let them do this to me. It's one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. And so they x-ray her. They check her out. We're expecting, finally, maybe we can get some answers tonight. Maybe they can help us out. And they came back in and they said, we think we see a blockage, and we're not equipped to do this kind of surgery, so we're going to send you to Memphis, a two-hour ambulance ride from Tupelo, Mississippi, all the way up to Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to send her to a pediatric hospital up there. And so it's probably 2 a.m. by this point. It's 2 a.m. by this point. We're exhausted. We're tired. The ambulance people show up, and I know I'm kind of telling a long story. I'm going to get to the point in a minute. The ambulance people show up, and they're not the nicest people, a little bit snarky. I almost hulked out on them and tore the place apart. They just say, you know, yeah, your wife can't ride in the ambulance with her. And so that was just one of those elements. You're telling me my daughter's going to have to ride 2 hours in an ambulance with a bunch of strangers? It was just getting worse. And it was just getting worse. And by the time we got to Memphis, we were still afraid. We still didn't know what was going on. And the whole entire night, I found myself hearing from the Lord in a way that I've never heard Him before. And it's interesting, being a man of God or being a woman of God, and how your relationship is when you're not in times of crisis. It's easy to talk the talk when you're not under attack. It's easy to shout and it's easy to shuck and buck when you got money in the bank account and your kids are healthy and your kids are serving the Lord. What about those night seasons where it's dark and you don't know what to do? You've exhausted all of your resources. You've prayed all the prayers of faith. You've named it and claimed it, and nothing has happened. What do you do in those moments? I began to pray when we left from Hamilton to Tupelo. I pulled up behind the ambulance. I saw my little girl in the ambulance. I just began to weep. I began to cry. And I just began to say, and that's one reason why I was happy I got to drive behind, because I had some praying in tongues I needed to do. Amen. I had some warfare that needed to take place. And I remember I turned on Christian radio. And, you know, XM satellite radio, turned on Christian radio, and it was just, you know, some cheesy kind of, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I said, no. So I turned to Kirk Franklin's Praise. I said, I need something with a little bit of oil on it. I need something to lift me up, to encourage me. And so I turned on this Kirk Franklin's Praise, and I remember there was a singer singing, and they just kept on saying, joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. And little did I know, at the same time, Lexi was in the back of an ambulance, and the Lord was saying, by morning, everything's going to change. By morning, everything's going to change. Well, on the way there, throughout the night, the Lord began to speak to me, and I just want to share with you a few topics on how to survive the night. If you are currently in a night season, or you one day might walk through a night season, I just want to simply encourage you with this word. Number one, don't allow the enemy to manipulate the shadows. Don't allow the enemy to manipulate the shadows. Now, I'm going to be very vulnerable right here, and you might drag me outside, and some of the guys might shave my beard and make me burn all my camouflage, but I'm going to get really honest with you. I enjoy deer hunting, and I love it, and I always love getting in the tree stand, but can I tell you something? Can I confess something to you? I might be the only guy in here who would ever fess up to this, but when I'm walking to the tree stand at 3 in the morning in the pitch black dark, I got my gun loaded ready to pop a cap in somebody. Am I the only one who's ever been walking out with his headlamp? And you see something in the corner of your eye and you know it is Bigfoot. You know it is Sasquatch about to rip the limbs off of your body and beat you with them. I know it. And man, I don't try to get to the stand quietly. I am running to the stand. I've seen one too many scary movies before I got saved. And I know Jason is up out here somewhere with a machete. He's going to chase me. He's going to take me out. I got to get that tree stand. And I don't even care. I'm climbing that tree stand so fast. And I get up there and I'm scanning. Man, if a squirrel would have run out, I'd blow it to smithereens. But I remember growing up, and you know, I used to... And I don't watch these movies anymore. They're demonic, so don't watch horror movies. But I remember watching horror movies growing up. And I remember going up to my room and getting under the covers And you'd be laying in there in the dark. Whew. And you know you just saw something move in the room. Something, you know, something is in the room with you. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. And oftentimes in the night season, the enemy will come to manipulate the shadows to make you believe that something is there that is not actually there. And when we were wondering, God, what's going on? We need answers. What's happening in my little girl? You would not believe some of the thoughts that came through my mind. She's going to have to wear a catheter for the rest of her life. Her bladder's shut down. They're going to have to do surgery, and her organs are going to shut down. Her bowels shut down. She's going to have to wear a colostomy bag for the rest of her life. All this fear, and I'm beginning to get sad about seeing a three-year-old walk around with a catheter, and it ain't even happened yet. And the Lord began to speak to me and say, do not partner with those lies. Do not partner with those lies, because what happens when you find yourself in a night season, walking through the night, the enemy will come in the shadows and make you believe that it's going to turn out bad when God has something good in store for you. He's going to make you think you're going to lose your house, you're going to go bankrupt, you're going to get a divorce, your kids are going to backslide. No. That is not the promise of God. And I had to find myself going through, man. And I've read the Bible and I've preached the Bible, but in that moment I had to search the scriptures in my heart and say, God, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this situation? What's going on? It's dark. I'm scared. I'm seeing things in the dark. But Lord, I know that your promises are true and your promises are yes and amen. Men all the time, that he is good and nothing can change that. I had to hold firm to that in the middle of the night, in the darkness, when I was by myself driving down that interstate, and I had to stand on that truth. The second point I want to encourage you with is this, and I don't want to over-Pentecostalize this, but you got to learn how to praise your way through it. And I've preached stuff like this before, and I've gotten up before, and I've shared in the middle of worship sets. You gotta praise. You know, Paul and Silas begin to shout and worship in the jail cell. And that stuff's easy. It's easy to praise when there is no crisis, man. It's easy to preach that when there's not a problem and there is no crisis. It's easy to preach. You just gotta praise your way through. But when everything is stacked against you, can you still allow a shout of praise to come out of your heart to Jesus? I had to find myself, and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel necessarily anything. But I just had to step back and just say, Lord, you're good. Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one beside you. You are fairer than the sons of man. Lord, I've searched all over and I've never seen anyone like you, Jesus. I magnify your name. And I just begin to say that over. I magnify your name. I bless your name. I lift you up. Even the whole time my voice is trembling through tears. The whole time I'm afraid. And the whole time I'm saying, God, I trust you. Lord, I know I don't feel it right now, but faith is not about what I feel. Faith is about what I know. And God, I love you. I know that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Because what will happen in that night season, the enemy will come and try to tell you that God is not good. He'll come and say, look, why doesn't God just heal her right now? Why, you know, you believe in healing, you believe in signs, you done prayed the prayers, why doesn't God just heal her right now and just make it all better? Can you praise to the questions? Can you praise through the tears, man? Can you praise when your voice is shaken and you're tired and you're at the end of your rope? Can you still praise there, man? Because I want to tell you, when you can find yourself praising there, that's where God will break through in your life. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when you find yourself praising there, God gets magnified above your situation. And you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord. And one of those songs that came on Kirk Franklin's praise, it was so prophetic, so I don't even know who was singing it. It just kept on saying, Jesus, you have overcome by your stripes. You have overcome by your stripes. You have overcome by your stripes. And it hit my spirit so strong. And I began to quote Isaiah saying that by his stripes we are healed. And I began to meditate on the whipping post of Jesus Christ, that he was tied there and the flesh was ripped off of his back. And I just begin to worship God for the cross. You gotta praise your way through it, even when it's hard, even when you're tired, even when you don't feel like it. Praise your way through it. And another thing, you've got to learn how to pray your way through it.
That's it.
I remember I was reminded of when I took a team of about 20 young people from the ramp to Germany and the United Kingdom last year. And it was just one of those crazy situations where, you know, we wake up at 2 a.m. We got to drive an hour and a half to the Birmingham airport. We're going to get there like 3 hours before, you know, 3 or 4 hours before our flight, no problem. We're driving on the road. We bust a flat tire. We're an hour away from the airport. We go to change the tire. We can't change the tire. We end up missing all of our flights. And I remember them telling us, I'm sorry, you lost your flights. You can't go anymore. And I'm like, these kids raised almost $50,000 for this trip, and you're telling me, United Airlines, you can't let us go. Like, this ain't going to work. And I remember in that moment getting frustrated and getting just annoyed, and I just stopped, and I pulled out my notes app on my phone, and I wrote down three things I was believing for. I wrote down three things, and I knew God was going to meet them. I didn't want to pay for new flights. I wanted to fly straight into Hamburg, and I wanted us all to get on the same flight. Man, literally in a moment, God answered. In a moment, when I wrote down and I got specific and I began to pray that out, saying, God, these are the three things I'm asking for. Man, I'm telling you, at one minute they were saying, you're not going to be able to get on this flight. And literally, they looked at me and said, give me your passports right now. We got all these flights. I was like, thank you, Lord. The Lord reminded me of that while I was in the hospital. And the Lord said, write down three things you're believing for. So I wrote down no surgery, better by the morning, and no long-lasting effects, meaning no catheter and no bowel shutting down, anything like that. I wrote down those three things. And when you're in these situations, do not neglect getting focused in the Lord. Get writing down these elements of things you're believing for. Get very specific. If you have a prodigal son or daughter, just begin to write down their name. I'm believing they're being restored back to their marriage. I believe they're being restored back to their full calling and purpose. I'm asking for it by this date. Just get specific, get focused, begin to call those things out. The next element I want to share with you about is that the Lord had to teach me while I was there was the simple fact that in the night season, He is still with you. I remember in that moment, we're in Memphis by this point. I was, you know, still no answers. Little girl still crying, hurting, IV sticking out of her arm, no answer. She's still not going to the bathroom. They do an ultrasound, her bladder's full again. They're saying, we're going to have to do another catheter. And I just remember sitting down on the stool, and I just started crying. It was a breaking point. I just started crying. I just said, Lord, and I'm sure some of you prayed this prayer. I said, God, where are you? Can we just get honest tonight? God, where are you? Lord, they're about to give her another catheter. Is her bladder not working? Where are you? And I remember in that moment, I immediately saw in my spirit, I saw Jesus walking into the room, wrap His arms around me, and Jesus began to weep with me. I remember at first, my first thought was, no, not me. I don't need this right now. She needs it. And Jesus, I just saw Him there with His arms around me with tears streaming down His face. And we've got to understand, no matter what you go through, no matter what you walk through, no matter what dark nights you encounter, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always, even until the end of the age. That's the promise of the Lord. This is what Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says. I love this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. One of the most beautiful elements about Jesus coming to earth, Jesus being born of a virgin, being fully God and fully man, one of the most beautiful elements of it is that the Bible calls Him God with us. That literally Jesus came down. God came down and felt our pains and felt our hurts And man, I love to go deep with it and think about the Lord. I wonder, man, did Jesus ever have to struggle with allergies? Come on, somebody. Man, there was something demonic in the atmosphere up in here. It's this yellow cloud resting on the city. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord for Allegra. I wonder, did Jesus ever go through that kind of... Did Jesus ever, you know, when Jesus' friend died, would Jesus lay in bed at night and weep? We can see very clearly in the book of John. It was one of my favorite elements. Sometimes we skip over it so quickly. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. It tells the story of Jesus coming. He fully knows what's going to happen. He says, this sickness is not going to end in death, but to the glory of God. He comes there. Lazarus is already dead. He's in the tomb. He stinks already. He gets there. They come running to him, Mary and Martha, his brothers. They say, Jesus, come and see. And the Bible says when he looked and he saw Martha weeping and he saw all the Jews weeping, that Jesus began to groan in his spirit with loud cries. And then Jesus wept. Man, sometimes it'll just do you good just to know in those tough times, Jesus hurts with you. Jesus hurts with you. He's not a far off God. He's not a distant God. He's not far off in heaven playing Monopoly with our lives. He is the one walking into emergency rooms, wrapping his arms around us and crying with us. He's with us, man. He's with us. You know, David Livingstone, he was a pioneer missionary to Africa. He spread the gospel. This is when Africa was known as the missionary's graveyard. That literally, if you went there, you're going to die. This is, you're going to be martyred. And David Livingstone wrote in his journals, on the following words, I base everything, and they never fail. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. He knew the power behind that scripture that said, son and daughter, I am with you. Period. And this is what I love. Even when we don't feel him, he is still with us. Even when we're hurting, even when we're broken, he is still with us. If you could, someone could just hop on the keys real quick. I'm going to close right here with a story. One of my, a story that when I first heard it, I'm going to share the story and then I'm going to finish my story about what happened. In Native American culture, in order for a boy to become a man, they had a ritual that they would do with him. They would, the father would take him into the woods and say, sit on the stump or sit on this blanket, sit right here in this spot. And he'd put a blindfold on him and he'd say, do not take off this blindfold until the sun comes up. Think about that. As a young boy having to sit in the wilderness all night long, can you imagine? Every single time you heard a twig snap, every single time you heard something, you just know it's a bear about to rip your face off. Amen. And the story would go that when this young boy was out there and all of a sudden he would see the sunlight begin to pierce through his blindfold, he would take it off. And when he took it off, sitting only a short distance away was his father. His father was with him all night long. Even when you don't feel him, even when you're in the greatest test, even when you're in the greatest trial, he is with you. And friends, that is the greatest promise we can have. That is the greatest promise we can hold on to, is that his presence is life and that his presence is with us. Remember my word, joy is going to come in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. That night, as we're sitting there, all of a sudden the doctor walks in, pulls up a stool. You know, when this happens, you immediately sit up, you lean in, doc, give me answers, doc, what's going on? Whew. The doctor just kind of sat there. Nothing wrong with her. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I had to like I was like, am I just sleepy? Like, say it one more time. He said, we've done more x-rays. We've checked her out. There's absolutely nothing wrong with your daughter. Two x-rays before that from two different hospitals said there's something wrong with her stomach. There's something in there. And he looks at us and he says, she's absolutely fine. You can go home right now. And I remember in that moment being so overwhelmed with joy and sitting back and thinking, wait, what time is it? It's sunrise. Literally, at the exact same time the sun was coming up, joy was rising in our hearts. And as I began to ponder on this, and we loaded up, and literally my girl sat up and smiled for the first time all night long, and we said, do you want a popsicle? And she said, yes, I want a popsicle. And she's eating a popsicle in the bed, and I'm thinking, whoa, 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 what happened? I was just thinking we're going to have to be in here recovering from surgery. And they're saying, go home, nothing's wrong. She's absolutely okay. I began to ponder on that. I began to meditate on the ride home. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, Jacob, a lot of people, because of the term, we believe that the sun rises and goes down, but it's actually a turning that causes the sun to rise in your life. The rotation of the earth turns, and literally in that moment when the sun begins to rise, all it is a turning back to where the sun is, and the sun comes up in brilliance and in warmth and in joy. And I just want to come here to encourage somebody tonight that your night has an expiration date. Your night will not last forever. This is not what God has called you to live in. That there is a turning about to take place in your life, and that the sun of Jesus Christ is about to rise. I left, and before we left the hospital, I Googled this woman. Her name is Lana Valzer. She's a prophet. And I Googled her blog. She's a blog. And I've never done this before. I'm just going to go see what she says. She wrote it the night before. And it said, the sun is rising in your life. The sun is rising in your life. And literally, word for word, detail for detail, it shared and it showed that some people have been under attack, and that weeping may have been enduring through a night, but you better get ready, because joy is coming in the morning. Thank you, Lord. If you would, let's stand all over the room. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you. If you're going through a night season, if you've been battling in your faith, if you've been battling in your walk, if you're tired, you're weary, you've been just fighting. It's nighttime and you find yourself just walking and you're wondering, when is the sun coming up? If that's you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just raise both hands to the Lord right now. I want to pray for you. If you're going through a night season, you've been battling in your faith, lift both hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We declare breakthrough tonight. We declare a turnaround tonight, God. I pray for an increase of faith in every heart, Lord. Lord, that they would not grow weary in well-doing, in Jesus' name. For if they are faithful, they shall reap a harvest. Father, I pray as they're in a fight of faith right now, Lord, that there would just be a fresh recharge of faith in Jesus' name. I just see that as sometimes your battery needs a recharging. I see the Lord hooking you up and giving you fresh faith. He's charging you up with fresh faith tonight to believe the impossible, to believe what God has said about your life. He will do it. Father, we come in agreement for prodigal sons and daughters to be saved. We come into agreement for bodies to be healed in the room right now. We come into agreement for financial breakthrough to take place now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for that assurance of faith, knowing you are with us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You can lift up a hand clap of praise to Jesus right now.
Come on, lift up your voice and give an affirming word. Come on, get your hallelujahs out. Come on, say, yes, that's mine. Yes, that's my word. Come on, do that, do that, do that. Hallelujah. Quickly, everybody, lift your hand up to him and say out loud, yes, that's my word. Say, that describes me. I receive that. I live in that. I move in that. That's mine tonight. Hallelujah. Give him verbal praise. Come on. Give him verbal praise. I know some of you are a little tired, but give him verbal praise. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Call it out. Call it out. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to do a couple things here. This is an incredible word. Jacob, there's just so much in there. And I think I wrote a thousand things down, all right? And I'm a little older than you, so I've been through more than one crisis. I couldn't help, but I want to add anything. He'd been so kind. I told him earlier, I said, we kind of shoot towards 7:30, so you didn't have to do that, all right? I mean, I know what you're doing, all right? But we're going to take this a step farther. Here's what I do, guys, is when I'm in a setting like this, I always, what are my takeaways? Now, what do I need to do? If you don't do that, you just become a church attender. All right? And so here's a couple of things. I thought specifically that when you said that you wrote down three things, called out three things, whatever, however you said that, I believe that's a rhema word for everybody here tonight. Now, I quickly wrote down my three things. Now, your three things are not going to be something you've got to dig for. They're going to be three things that are already on your mind. Three things you've already prayed about.
That's right.
Three things you've been imagining.
That's right.
Three things you've been pondering. Three things been frustrating you. Three, you go on and on. But three things that are heavy on you. So everybody, take out your phone. Get the paper you're writing on. It's the first time the youth have ever heard anybody say, take your phone out. But everybody get your phone out. Everybody here probably got one, so don't act like you don't. And the first thing you want to do is write down your three things. If you don't have a piece of paper, borrow somebody's pen, write it in the palm of your hand. As soon as you get somewhere, we got paper, we got pen. You got to sit down to do this, whatever you got to do. Just come on, just take a few moments. I want you time to do that. Write down your three things. Here's the deal. I don't know. I can't remember if it's Ryan, Jacob. Doesn't matter. Somebody, Otis. Somebody started out tonight by saying, verbally say the words that nothing is impossible with God. And then number two, believe it. Never forget the day that Reinhard Bonnke looked at Patty and I straight in the face. It said there are no maximums with God.
Yes.
Man had seen over 1 million people saved in one meeting. And he said, you can believe it. He looked right, he told Patty there are no maximums. Looked at me and said, you can believe it because I've seen it. So this is a whole setup here tonight. These three things, you write them down. You say, well, I don't see any sign of it right now. I don't see any sign that this baby's getting better. I prayed, I'd anointed with oil, I fasted, I've called three prophets, I've got four prophetesses, I've done everything, and I don't see any signs. I'm going to write down another tip here of the notes he gave you. I'm not adding anything to it, it's kind of like a bonus. Never be moved by what you see. Scripture says, always go to the Word. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians that what you see is temporary. What you do not see is eternal.
That's right. That's right.
So the thing you need to know with not being moved by what I see is that there is always more going on than what you see. All of you in this room, we did a survey, need a miracle. There's always, God never sleeps nor slumbers. He never gets tired, he never gets weary. God never has to think about, am I going to do something? He's always doing. All right? And so, you just get that. He's always moving. So whether you see something moving or not, doesn't mean, if the baby's not getting better, doesn't mean that God is not healing. All right? How many got all that? Got your three things down. If you know your three things or you got them down, you got to write them down. Like, if you've got your three things, raise your hand. If you got your three things, raise your hand. I've got my three. I mean, I wrote them down quick. I mean, I've been all over these. Got your three things down. Okay. The other thing I want to say to you is, he didn't know this, but we've been in here Wednesday nights on atmosphere authority. And he did the things that are the two keys to atmosphere authority. He did them. Number one, he based everything he did on the Word of God. Second thing is, he used the authority of the name of Jesus. The only two components you need to mix a miracle is the Word of God and the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. So you guys get this down right now. I'm in a crisis. Now what do you got to do? He did something. There's a third element to this that he did. The Word of God, the authority. Number three was spirit preparation. I want you to watch this. He wasn't on his drive from Tupelo. Watch, and here's what he didn't say. He did not say he was on his drive from Tupelo to Memphis. God, I repent.
Come on.
I've been lukewarm.
Wow.
I've been mediocre.
Wow. Come on.
God, if you'll get me through this, I'll live for you the rest of my life.
Preacher.
He didn't turn to his wife and say, we've been living in sin. We got to get it right. They were prepared in the spirit. If you'll read through, the last thing I'll say, if you'll read through the book of Acts, it's interesting to note, do this for a little research, how many times Peter was in jail. Here's a side note. Every time Peter was in jail at midnight, whoa, yeah, we could do a little bit here on the clock of really when morning starts. Yeah, hallelujah. Morning starts at midnight. Yet the say, and at midnight, hallelujah. At midnight, on every occasion that Peter was in jail, an angel got him out. Every time they locked him up, he's like, I know who's got bail. Okay. All right. Now, another note. In Acts 16, by the time you get to there, Saul's gotten saved. He's Paul. Paul and Silas are in jail. And verse 25 says, joy come in the morning. At midnight. Midnight, y'all think it's the darkest of the midnight, actually, is the morning.
That's right.
Y'all hearing me on this?
Right.
That's where it shifts, all right? Okay? And so if you don't believe that, you see if somebody's born at 12:01, they're born on that next calendar date.
Right.
It's that morning. Okay? Everybody say, I'm in my morning.
I'm in my morning.
Come on, say, I'm in my morning.
I'm in my morning.
You got to declare that. I wrote those three things down, so I'm in my morning. So anyway, back to Paul and Silas, and I quit. Paul and Silas, at midnight, verse 25, Acts 16, 25, it says they began to, the last thing he brought out there, he was prepared. They began to pray and sing hymns. Now, for those of you who think, well, you ought to sing hymns through the chorus you sang, that they weren't singing Amazing Grace because it had not been written yet. So what's it mean by hymns? They were singing the words of God. So they were singing and praying the words of God. And so here's the deal. They didn't sing and praise because they thought, if we do this, we'll get broke out of here. They did that because that's all their spirit knew to do. What he told you they did on the way, because you had so trained your spirit, Jacob and Lexi, that's all you knew to do. Last tip I'll give you. I've lived my life this way. And since you're in here, I'm going to take a little time to do this. Is I've lived my life understanding that direction comes out of disciplines. If you get that right there, I'll just save you 2 semesters of college. You can send your money to post office box. Listen to me. Disciplines, direction. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Where am I going to go? What job am I going to get? What house am I going to get? Who am I going to marry? Should I get this dog or not? All right. Direction comes out of disciplines. I don't read my 1-year Bible every morning to get me through my crisis. If the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, steps means movement. So I've got to be walking with the Spirit. When I walk with the Spirit, I might hit a chug hole now and then. I might hit a speed bump now and then. I might hit a curb, in other words, a crisis, but I'm going to keep on moving, baby. Because I'm going to do what I've already trained myself to do. If you're hearing me on this, wave your hand. Did that mean anything to anybody? He was already ready. And so when Paul and Silas, they didn't pray to get out of jail. That's what they always did. Probably did it because they were bored. What else are we going to do? We're just going to start singing. Amen. So how many hear me? That ought to already be in you. That'll come out of you.
That's right.
And that will be your deliverance. Last thing I'll tell you, here's the last thing. Whatever is in you will either deliver you or destroy you. You better write it down right now. Whatever's in you will either deliver you or destroy you. What was in Paul and Silas delivered them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got my 3 things down, and I'm hearing the clock chiming on midnight right now. Hallelujah. And what I got in me is about to come out of me, because greater what is in me, there is greater healing in me than sickness. There is a greater name in me than anything that's opposing me. Hallelujah. And while I have my being, I'm going to praise Him. So quickly get your hands up. Come on. Quickly get your hands up and lift your voice and begin to praise Him. Come on. Get it out. Come on. Just get it out. Come on. Just get it out. Hallelujah. Come on. Just get it out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. What's in me is about to deliver me. Hallelujah. Quentin, go back to that keyboard with us and help us out. Here's what I'd like for us to do. It's just now 7:45 by that clock. I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm going to ask you to take, if you got to go, understand that. But if you can take a few minutes, start to say 3, 4, 5 minutes, but if I do that, you'll be doing that. Take you a few minutes. You wrote down those 3 things. You heard Rhema word from Him. You were supposed to be here. I want you guys to do that song, if you don't mind. You know I don't know the name of it, but what'd you say it was? Let hope in. Let hope in. We're going to need the words to this on the screen, please. And you know what I'm talking about. Just start off with, there goes all my, whatever it is, all right? And tonight, those 3 things are what you're focusing on. There goes all my doubt. There goes all my questioning. You may need to go to an altar. Some of you said you burned the bridge, whatever. You just lit my fire when I heard you say those things. So you need to take, you've been on this retreat, you need to take 3 to 5 more minutes and seal the deal. Tonight, you got your orders. Tonight, how am I going to keep from that bridge ever building again? What am I going to do? I'm putting this in me. This is going to propel me somewhere else. This wasn't spring break. This was spring forward. It's going to be something. This is it. there's going to be prophetic things are going to come to me. Dreams are going to be coming to me. Tonight, there's going to be something new. As we sing this song, you guys just get out of your chairs. Go find you a place to kneel or stand. Go somewhere in this room, you guys. Everybody, just by yourself. Just can everybody do that? Just move around there somewhere. If you got to go, we can understand. Get your kids. But if you can, go right ahead and sing it. We won't even end. This will be it right here. Go ahead.
And there goes all my doubt. There goes all my pain. 'Cause on that day he rose again, sin no longer stains. There goes all my questionings. There goes all my fears. 'Cause on that day of a wreck,
where I don't know.
Yeah, we're playing it here.
I thought you were canceling it. I said, I thought you were canceling it. Appreciate you. Yes, sir. That was beautiful. You know, I like single notes, dog. It'd be anointment in that. But you want to say something sometime.
I said what?
If you want to say something sometime, I know it's going to be a lesson to the body sometime. Yeah. Question it or not, but like I was saying over there, it's one of the biggest things is